Sugya is about to
Sefer
Maaseh Talmid HaMelech, about the story, the famous story of Talmid HaMelech who had requested from the 72 Chachamim, Gemara in Megillah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says that Maaseh B'Talmid HaMelech Shekines Shivim Mushnaim Zekenim, that he had brought in 72 different elders, and the Chnisan B'Shivim Mushnaim Batim, they were placed in 72 separate houses, V'lo Gila Lehem Al-Makinsim, he didn't tell them why he gathered them together. And he went into each one and told them, Amar Lehem, he says to them, Kisruli Taras Moshe Ravchem, I want you to write the Torah of your Rebbe Moshe, and in Greek. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bulev Kolechad V'Echad Eitzah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them each Eitzah, in other words, Ruach HaKodesh, V'Skima Kulon Ladas Achas. And there were a number of different changes in the Psukim, and to which they all got the changes exactly right. So this is the Gemara. So the Gilyan Hashash of Kiveh Eger, he points to this Yam Shel Shlomo. The Yam Shel Shlomo, a very important shita about this whole story of Maisa of Talmid HaMelech. So we need a little bit of background before we can understand this Yam Shel Shlomo. So the Gemara Baba Kama, you guys saw, talks about, it's in the context of discussing Nezek and a Jewish shore damaging a non-Jewish shore, or a non-Jewish shore damaging a Jewish shore. And the Gemara says that The Shalcha Malchus Roma, it's a similar case where the Roman government sent two officers to the Chachmei Yisrael, Lamduhu Torascham. They wanted to send two officers to learn the Torah. So what happened? Karu, Vishanu, Vishilshu, these two officers learned. They did a Chazara a second time, they did a Chazara a third time. They were very much immersed in the Torah of Hashem. And then when they left and they were ready to go back to Rome, so they said to them, Diktakeinu b'chol toraschem v'emesu. We learned through your entire Torah, and every part of your Torah was completely true. Chutz midavar zeh. There's one thing we disagree with, and that's what you guys suggest, that shor shel Yisrael, a Jewish ox, that's nagach shor shel Kanani, that's gores a non-Jewish ox, you say pater. And if it's the opposite of a non-Jewish ox, is gores a Jewish ox, so then you're chayv. Doesn't make any sense. It's a double standard here. You guys always have the benefit that when your ox damages, so then you're pater from damaging our, but when our ox damages yours, we have to pay you? Doesn't make any sense. And they said, but still nonetheless, davar ze ein anu modin osol malchus. We're not going to let it be known to our emperor, and we're going to leave it between you and us. That's what the Gemara in Baba Kama says. So Tosa says, he asks the question, how could it be true? Don't we have the Gemara Chagiga that tells us that of one who teaches Torah over an Asa, if you teach Torah rather to a goy, Hamelamed Torah Lo'oved Kochavim, you teach Torah to a goy over Ba'aseh, you violate an Isra Aseh, because the Pasuk we say in Tilim and Psukei de Zimra every single day, Magid Dvarav Liyakov, you can only tell the Dvarav, the words of Hashem to Yaakov, you can't tell it to a non-Yaakov, in other words, a non-Jew. So how couldn't they taught these two officers? And so Tosis...
What? It's not on the next part.
Yeah, no, I think the Gemara in Chagig Darshan is this part. It's the same idea. It's like a repetitive pasuk. I'm not sure what the difference is.
Right.
That's okay. I hear. But this is overall Magid Dvarav, all the Dvarav, all Torah, whether it's Shor Shenagach or any other area, Yardaya, whatever topic it is, you can't teach them. So how come the Jews here taught these two Roman officers? So Tosis answers, because Al Pi Divrei Moshel Vlo Nischayvu Limtzer Atzman. You don't have to be Moser Nefesh when you're teaching Torah. We know that there are only three Averos that a person has to give his life up to avoid violating. That's Gilei Raos, Shfichas Damim, Avodah Zarah. This is not one of the big three. So they had a gun to the head. He said, you teach or we kill you. So they had to teach, because there's no obligation in the Torah to give one's life up to avoid teaching the Torah. And that's what the Gemara, that's what Tosas learned from the Gemara Baba Kama. So now the Yam Shel Shlomo takes this a step further. And then he connects it to our Gemara Megillah. The Yam Shel Shlomo says, why couldn't they just protect themselves and just change the Torah? And why couldn't they have said to them, say, you know, we're both chai. They knew they were two Roman officers. They came in with their hairstyles, whatever they came in. They knew they were Roman officers. And they could have taught them. They knew we're in the getting to this halacha. It's going to be a little bit dangerous for them. They teach this halacha. So they should have taught, when our ox damages each other, whichever direction it's in, us to yours, yours to us, we're both chai. Or we're both pater. As let there be a consistency, so they could have changed the halacha to protect themselves, because that's not one of the big three. The fact that they didn't change the Torah at all, they preserved the Torah, and told them exactly what the halacha was, even though it was going to be dangerous for them, that when we damage your ox, we're not chayiv, but when you damage ours, you are chayiv. Tells us, the Am Shishlama learns from here, that a person has to give up his life. He has to be moser nefesh in order to preserve the identity, the authenticity of the Torah, exactly the way it was given. So it's moser nefesh to preserve the Torah. That's what the Am Shishlama learned from this Gemara. And then he goes on to quote our Gemara and Megillah of Daf Tes, Ma'isa of Talmud de Melech. So how come here the 72 is a Kenim? They change a Psukim in a number like 10 different places or so. How could they change the Pasuk?
Good question.
So he says, this was a special exception because the Gemara says that what? Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Lev Kol Echad V'Echad Eitza V'Skim U'Kul Das Achas. It was Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh to do this. But had they not been on the level of Ruach HaKodesh, nobody ever has the right to change the Torah, even with a gun to your head, says the Am Shlomo, it's usher to change the Torah.
72 people did the exact same
exactly
thing.
Exactly.
They all had this Ruach
HaKodesh. So that's what the Am Shlomo learns from here, that you have to preserve the Torah, even if one's life is in danger. So that's a fascinating thing, yeah.
This is a kasha that we were talking about on what the Am Shlomo says. Is it not only the Talmai Melech story, Vinyakasha, but there's really a lot more than just this one place. It has things that would be problematic for Goyim to hear, even for us to hear sometimes, very problematic to hear. One of the examples was given later on in the Maror Komos about Tov Shivu Goyim Yehareg, and there's really many, 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 many more places. So it's kind of almost strange credulity to think that that's the only example of something offensive to Goyim that these Romans found. And the fact that that's the only one that they found, I don't know, maybe it's a simpler, easier explanation to say that they changed a lot of things in the Torah. And that's the only one that they didn't change to make it look like, okay, this is not too good to be true, to make themselves more believable, that they really are telling the truth. They left one that was offensive.
And it's certainly an interesting approach. I hear it's a very good approach. This again, not what the Am Shlomo says. That's why it's hard to say. But I hear it's a nice suggestion.
What about all these things that these guys changed? It didn't come up over there?
No.
Multiple gods?
Yeah. They're right. Their concern wasn't... Yeah, they had different concerns, I guess. The Roman government versus the Greek government had different perspectives. The Roman government, they were a monotheism, so they didn't have any chashash about anyone, you know, the Jews agreeing to them. They all believed that there's one God. The Greeks believed in many gods. So they said, your Torah also says Nase, you know, also has multiple gods. So maybe that's why they're extra sensitive to those different psukim that indicated, multiple gods. You have to go through each pasuk. I think it's a good point. Why? But that probably has to do with the Greeks versus the Romans, would be my guess. Either way, what we could walk away right now with the Am Shlomo is the importance of preserving the Torah, being exact and precise, and one has to give up their life. Now, the big question is, the Tshuva's Yad Eliyahu, who's Rabbi Eliyahu ben Reb Shmuel, he was born in the 17th century. I brought the little biography over him in Lublin.
What's his name?
So, Yad Eliyahu, Rabbi Eliyahu ben Reb Shmuel. So, he quotes his Am Shlomo. It was a well-known Am Shlomo, apparently. And, you know, just because, you know, I'm not going to give you a little background. Yeah, not background, but Yamsha Shlomo, once we have a lot of time to work with here, and it's the Erev Shavuos almost. So Yamsha Shlomo, just to give you an idea of his Hakdama to his Sefer. He's got his farm, he's got a few different volumes on Shas. And he has an amazing Hakdama to his Yamsha Shlomo Sefer. And he's talking about the concept of Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. And he connects it to Kabbalah Satorah. Again, this is a complete... it actually connects to the sugi also, for that matter.
And you said that's Akiva Eger?
This is, no, Yamsha Shlomo is Rav Shlomo, Rav Shmuel Kluger. So, Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Kluger. So, he writes that the following. That how could it be possible that some people say Chayev, some people say Mutter? How could there be a whole range of different opinions in one particular halacha? And the Gemara all the time says they're both right. Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. How could that be true? Beis Hillel says one thing. Beis Shammai says something else. And the Gemara says Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim. And so the Am Shlomo is mechadish that at Kabbalah Satorah, when the Torah is given, so there are these different tinoros, different pipes of chachma that's coming out of the Torah, of Shemaim, wherever it's coming from. And a person, depending on their shoresh, would connect and tap into different pipelines. And it's all true. It's all the Torah can be dispersed in many different directions. It was all said over from Har Sinai, and therefore you could tap into different pipelines depending whatever shores, whatever level, whatever understanding you have, and it's all really true. It's a very small Kedama. It's kedai for anyone to read. It's just one small page, a few paragraphs, but it's a beautiful piece about the concept of Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. That should be contrasted with another opinion, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given everything in the Torah. Not everything was set out. Others say that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the tools of the Yud Gimel Midos, She'at Torah Nedreshes Behen. He was given those 13 tools. As long as you use those tools and you stay within the framework of the Darshaning Torah, so you could come out with different conclusions. But not that every conclusion was said over a Kabbalah Torah. So Yom Shalom, everything was said. And according to others, no, not everything said. The tools were given over, but it still is considered, it came from Hashem, because it was you used the proper tools that were handed to Moshe, to Yeshua, and so on. Either way, so back to the sugya now.
Even within that itself is Eilu
Ve'elu. Even that as well. So we
so
see.
The first answer was pipelines. The second answer was not everything was there had to be darshan.
Exactly. So the Tshuva's Yad Eliyahu writes, and he argues in the Yamsha Shlomo. He says the Yamsha Shlomo doesn't make any sense because this is not one of the big three averos. How could the Yamsha Shlomo suggest that a person has to be moser nefesh to preserve the Torah? It's not Gilei Raos, it's not Avodah Zarah, it's not Shvichas Damim. So we have no source that a person has to protect the Torah and give up his life to protect the Torah. So and he says, if you look in the Yad Eliyahu, he says it must be that it wasn't a serious sakana, and that's why they didn't alter the Torah at all. It wasn't a serious sakana. That's what he's mechadish. But if it was a serious sakana, of course you could lie. Of course you could change the Torah to protect yourself. That's the Yad Eliyahu argues. And the question now becomes, so where is Yamsha Shlomo coming from? That's a very good question. It's not one of the big three. It's not Gilei Raos, Shvichas Damim, or Avodah Zarah. So how could the Yamsha Shlomo get away with suggesting that one has to give their life up in order to preserve the Torah?
Because it includes those three.
Does it include? No, but you're not coming.
Torah includes that.
No, but you're changing. Changed. No, but the changing that they, the one change that they had, assuming it was one change, or actually it was no changes, but the change that they could have made was the Nezikin between a Goy and a Yid. That has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, or Gilei Raos. It's about my shore damaging his shore, and vice versa. That's not changing anything. But if it was about Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Damim, Tameh, I could hear that a little bit. But this has nothing to do with that. So that's why we got into the discussion, which many of you asked, why in the world are we talking about whether or not Islam is considered a Avodah Zarah or not? So let's look at that machlokus for a second. And that machlokus, I think, will shed light on where the Yamsha Shlomo is coming from. So this is a famous machlok, is a famous tshuva, the Rama Mamakon, to bring the whole background and the history of it. But if you look at the Ritva number 5, the Ritva in Pesachim, he weighs in on defining and categorizing Islam. And he writes in number 5 on the bottom that Havi Yodeya She Amunas Hayishme Elim, the beliefs of the Muslims, the Afal Pishem, Miyachtin Es Hashem, even though they also believe in one God like we do, Avodah Zarah Gemura Chashiva. It's considered a full-fledged Avodah Zarah. Leharog vayishtamid. Person has to kill himself, and he shouldn't embrace such a religion, even if he's forced into it, rather to kill yourself. Sharei hamode bemunasam. So listen, this is the key. This is the key definition of Avodah Zarah. When you believe in another religion, even if it's a monotheism, it's at the same time kofer b'toras Moshe. You're turning your back to the Torah of Hashem. She'einu emes. And you're saying that the Torah of Hashem and Moshe is not the truth. So, all of us would, if you asked 100 out of 100 people, I think 100 out of 100 people would say the definition of Avodah Zarah is whenever you worship multiple gods. Yeah. That's the definition. And I think the chiddush of the Ritva is that no. It's not about multiple gods, it's about rejecting. It's about being kofar in Taras Hashem and Taras Moshe. That's the definition. And therefore, Islam or any other monotheistic religion would be considered Avodah Zarah, which is a tremendous chiddush and a tremendous ramification for this. That's the chiddush of the Ritva. Now, the Rambam argues in two places. The Rambam, who lived amongst Islam and the Muslims, doesn't have any impact, but he certainly knew them quite well. And the Rambam writes, he worked for them. The Rambam writes in number 6. He says, V'chein kol akum she'eno oved akum, any non-Jew who does not serve idols, could go in Eila Shemelim, just like the Muslims, Yainan Aser, B'shtiyo Mutar Bahana. You can't drink their wine, but it doesn't become Aser Bahana. There's a halacha, a din deraisa, when it comes to Yain Nesach. Yain Nesach is if a guy takes wine and uses it to worship their gods. That yain becomes aser behana. So he says that's only if they're really serving in avodah zarah. But if the Yishma'elim were to take it and pour it in front of their mosques or whatever they would do, that wouldn't be aser behana. Aser to drink because of stam yainam. Stam yainam is aser to always drink any wine, open bottle wine, touched by a non-Jew, regardless of their religion. That's aser as a gezera. You can't eat, drink stam yainam. But if it's they actually do it for avodah zarah, for religious purposes, it's aser b'hana if they're avodah zarah. But if they're not avodah zarah, it's mutter b'hana. So the Rambam categorizes the Yishma'elim as not avodah zarah and therefore mutter b'hana.
This is talking about where they used it for religious purposes, not just where they touched it.
Correct.
So if they just touched it, they'd be called mutter.
If they touched it, you can't drink it. You can't drink it.
But why did you give the example of pouring it in front of the mosque?
That's the only time it would be aser b'hana.
Oh.
I mean, it's whatever they touch
even
it.
Even though it's not a zara.
Right. That's the point. If a non-Jew touches it, so then it becomes stam yenam and it's aser to drink, but mutter b'hana. If you could sell it, let's say. But let's say the mamish use it for avodah zara, right, for religious purposes.
So what about Islam?
Exactly. So that is not korel avodah zara. And would
There's
be mutter b'hana.
Whether they pour it in front of the mosque or they just have it at home and they're drinking it.
Correct.
And offer you some.
Exactly. Okay. So they're not considered avodah zara. And then he was asked the same question that Shuvas Rambam about the definition of Yishma'elim, whether or not they should give up their lives or not for this. And he said that they're not considered avodah zara because they also believe in one God just like we believe in one God. So that would be, again, this Rambam seems to be, you would guess, the mainstream view. But now, looking back at the Ritva, and the Ritva said that Islam is considered avodah zarah because it's turning your back to Teras Moshe. So now we can understand where the Yam Shel Shlomo is coming from. What's on the Yam Shel Shlomo now? Any suggestions? Again, the Yam Shel Shlomo said a person cannot change any of the Torah. And if a person puts a gun to your head and your life is in danger, you still can't change the Torah. It's us, sir.
So it's considered about his own.
Exactly. Whenever you change the Torah around, whether it's, you know, his case was the Yishma'elim, when your mom is turning completely against the Torah, or even just one iota, one small change, that would also be considered turning your back and not preserving the Torah as was. And that's perhaps why Yam Shel Shlomo holds that one does have to give up their life to be moser nefesh, because it falls under the category of avodah zarah. So avodah zarah is not about serving multiple gods; it's about preserving the Torah's Moshe. And the moment you change one word, one halacha, that would be considered avodah zarah in the eyes of the Ritva, and would be considered one of the big three to be moser nefesh. And that's pshat, I think, of the Yam Shel Shlomo. Okay, we'll finish off with two very interesting tshuvas. Cheshuke Chemed of the Rav Zilberstein here. He always has very interesting tshuvas. People send them interesting tshuvas, and makes it fun to learn. So we bring two different tshuvas. He speaks about this concept of changing the Torah, altering the Torah, preserving the Torah. And the first one is number 8. He's talking about a shaila that there was a rofe notzri, a non-Jewish Christian doctor, who I'm not sure what Katuli Hadok is. I'm not sure what type of doctor he was. But he was misariv lerfuas Yehudim. He refused to practice on any Jews. Why? What was his basis? So he says, Biglal HaMaimer, he was very familiar with the statement, it's a mechilta in Rabbi Yishmael, mechilta Rabbi Yishmael, that tov shebegoyim harog. The best of the goyim should be killed. So it sounds similar to a mission at the end of Maseches Kedushin, tov sheberofim legehenim. The best amongst the doctors goes to get him. So he didn't know that Mishnah. He wouldn't have liked that either. He was a doctor. But he shows tov shebegoyim harog. So the best of the goyim should die. So what kind of a pshat is that? I'm going to serve these people who want to kill me? I don't want to serve them. They want to kill me. So I'm not going to help them live. So he's bothered by this. And the question was posed to him, ha'im mutter l'shanas lo b'ha perish anachon. Can you now alter the explanation? Give him a new pshat, a new taich of this medrash. Latoso to trick him, b'perish amaimer b'glal sherofe misar l'refuas Yehudim v'yeh pikuach nefesh. So now you're in danger. You need the refuah, whatever type of doctor he is, whatever type of procedure you need. So now you're in great danger. Could you lie to him and say there's a different pshat? It doesn't mean what you mean. Goyim refers to people, I don't know, whatever it refers to, whatever pshat you want to give. We'll see in a second, just the pshat. Are you allowed to change the Torah?
To save a life.
To save a life, exactly. The question is, could you change, alter the Torah for pikuach nefesh?
Well, if you hold like the Rambam, so then yes.
Right, so if you hold, well, the Rambam never addresses the point, but if you take the Rambam to the next level,
right,
seemingly, or the Mir Yad Eliyahu, who is explicit, you pass like the Yad Eliyahu, that says you're allowed to, of course you could save yourself, you could change the Torah to save yourself, so I'm going to be pashut.
Right.
But even within the world of the Am Shel Shlomo, he doesn't quote the Yad Eliyahu, but he does quote the Am Shel Shlomo in this whole discussion. And he says, the Am Shel Shlomo paskins. Now, the Am Shel Shlomo came earlier than Yad Eliyahu. So it's always tricky, how do you paskin? One hand, the Am Shel Shlomo was like almost a Rishon. But at the same time, we have a concept, halacha kibasa. We always paskin like the later opinion, who was able to see all of the different opinions, and he decided how to paskin. So the Rav Zilberstein favors the opinion of the Am Shel Shlomo, and he says, it's asa, you cannot change the Torah, even to save one's life. But he says, in this particular case, since there is a pshat of this medrash that's found in the Achronim, you could give it, even though it's not a mainstream pshat, but it exists out there. It's on the radar. So then you can give him such a pshat in order to save the Torah. What's the pshat? So look at the last paragraph of number 8 in bold. Says Rav Zilberstein, near the mutter lomar lerofe, it's permitted to tell a doctor esanemar b'sma, what the sma writes in Choshen Mishpat, b'shem shevet Yehuda from one of the svarim, who is following? Shetov shebegayim means kolomar hatov shebemidos ha'akum, the best of the midos of the non-Jewish midos. What does that mean? Who adin denzinzeb? That has to be abolished. What's this? What's the mita that the goyim stand by very strongly that needs to be abolished? Shedanin din hariga umisa lechotim, that they don't have much compassion. When a person violates avera, immediate death penalty. That's the tov shiba midas goyim. That's to be hard. That needs to be abolished. Vein mechapsin zechus lo se'avla. They never look for a way out. They never look to help the people who sinned. They're always looking to kill, 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 kill. That's what it's talking about. That medrash tov shibagoyim refers to the tov, the midos. That's strong. Tov doesn't mean good. It means that strong mida, that overpowering mida that they have, that they're always trying to kill all the different people when they violate an avera, that's what we're trying to get rid of. That word means harug. In that case, since there is such a position in the Achron, how to interpret this medrash, then you can tell the doctor, that's pshat. That's what it means in this the medrash. But had not been for that, if this pshat wouldn't exist, it was over in sin stead. We hold strong by the Yam Shel Shlomo. And one is not allowed to be moser nefesh in order to preserve the Torah.
What does that mean? We have such a concept?
What do you mean?
Whenever we said that all the best of the goyim should be killed, what's the context? What are we talking about?
Not sure. But either we have a pshat of the sma.
We were different than the Muslims. We didn't think whoever doesn't believe should be killed.
Yeah, a different topic. Not going to address now. Certainly not on record. But it's a challenging topic. Fine. That's one tshuva found in Rabbi Zilberstein. The next tshuva is the following discussion number 9. Reading the underline what the shaila was. The shaila that was posed to Rabbi Zilberstein is as follows: Mesuper al Gaon Reb Chaim Brisk. Chaim was said about him. Shabike Shem Eglon Echad. He was asked from one of these wagon drivers, Shiasia Yoledis Lebes Acholim B'Shabbos B'Tchifas. He needed to hurry up to get a woman who was in labor to get her quick to the hospital. L'tzarech Pikuach Nefesh. For the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh, she was in danger. And the Yoledis is considered Pikuach Nefesh. We're actually learning this topic, Shavuos Night, those who want, in the classroom. We're learning the lachas of Pikuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Now they discuss, even though Yoledis is very, very, the chances of her being really dying is so unlikely. It's the Mishnah Berurah says that 1 in 1,000 only, chances of anything really, of her dying, it's still considered Pikuach Nefesh, because even a Safek, even a very remote type of Pikuach Nefesh, would be considered Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore you could take her to the hospital on Shabbos. So he's discussing this with the wagon driver. So Amar Laha Galon, and the wagon driver asks him, Shim lo yishame nesa gagolim hu lo yuchal l'nzor. I need to oil up the wheels.
This is a
Jewish driver. I need to oil up the wheels before I go. So it's going to take me some time. I need to do some oiling. So can I do that? So Amar lo Rabbi Chaim shiachol l'shamen hagagolim. You can oil up the wheels, even though it might be some avodah zameya, some of that type of amlacha Shabbos. I don't know if it's going to be makabit patish. I don't know which isser it's going to be, but you could do that. Amar Agalon Shibili Kos Kafe Hulo Yachol and Soa. It's early in the morning. I need a little coffee here. I need to make myself some coffee and cook some coffee. So Amar Lo Rabbi Chaim Mishemoti Lo Lahachin Latmo Kos Kafe. You're allowed to prepare yourself some coffee. So So then he says, "Im lo yashen hu lo yichol and so I need to smoke now. I need to, you know, take it easy. I wake up in the middle of the night. I need to have some relaxing." So Amar le Rav Chaim, "Remut lashen, do whatever you need to do to get yourself going. But we need to get this lady to the hospital as soon as possible. Oil up your wheels, smoke a cigarette, and have some coffee. Then get on your way." Then he says, then he says to himself, "Miyodeya." The wagon driver says, "Miyodeya od kama dvar mutulasos b'shabbos v'arbanim lo amru lanu." How many other things could we do? The rabbis are hiding all these different things from us. And only when you ask them, do they give you a heter for it now? So hey, we're all missing out on the tremendous hanah we could get from the Shabbos. So now the question I was asked to Rabbi Silverstein is as follows. What would happen if the wagon driver said to the next level now? He said, "You know what? I want to, Rabbi Chaim, I want to make it and put an ad in the paper. And I want to write an ad that anybody who needs to help a chola, send, it's a chola sheish b'sakana, could smoke and can prepare coffee and all these other things that makes him relax to get the chola to the hospital in time." Would Rav Chaim say, if that's what's going to take it, if that's what you need to do, you can make it, put an ad in the paper, and that would be permitted? That was the shaila that they asked Rav Silverstein. How far could you take it of amplifying, of advertising this heter? So Rav Silverstein's first approach to this shaila says it's aser. It would be aser to advertise such a din. And the reason is because we're concerned people might take this to the next level. If it's mutter to smoke and to oil up the wheels and to make coffee on Shabbos in the case of a chola, so then that might lead to someone doing these things when there wasn't a case of a pikuach nefesh. And he goes on to bring a raya from the story of Bar Kamsa. Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and Kamsa was invited to the party, Bar Kamsa wasn't, and they kicked out Bar Kamsa, and he obviously got very upset. He went to tell the Caesar that, you know, the Jews are not happy with you. He says, "How do you know?" "Just send them a carbon, and they're not going to accept your carbon." So he sent the carbon with Bar Kamsa, and he made a little mum in the animal that the Caesar wouldn't recognize, but the Jews would recognize. And they refused to bring this animal as a carbon. So they said, maybe they should bring it to Shalom Malchus. You know, if we don't bring it, they're going to destroy us. And the Rabbi Zechariah ben Avkola said to him, but the problem is, if we bring this carbon which has a mum, everyone's going to go ahead and say, you can bring animals with mumim. And we need to preserve that. So therefore, bikuach nefesh, even though we're in danger now, we cannot makriv such an animal. That's what, that was the din of the Gemara. So we see that even though this is a case of bikuach nefesh, we have to look at the future, what the future is going to be. And there's going to be tremendous, terrible results. So even though there's a current bikuach nefesh, you have to look at the broader picture. So here, if we, even though right now this guy, right during pikuach nefesh, the guy needs to smoke, the guy needs to make coffee, and right now there's pikuach nefesh, but if you advertise such a din, it's going to be tremendous michshel for other people. When there is no sakana, they're going to start smoking on Shabbos and doing other things they shouldn't be doing on Shabbos. So therefore, pikuach nefesh, it's docha, pikuach nefesh is docha isurim, but if it's going to impact the larger picture, then we say pikuach nefesh, it's not docha Shabbos. That was his first approach. Then he says differently, doesn't make any sense. And then he rejects that shot, but then he comes back to our sugya. Says, you know why it's aser to? You know why it's aser to advertise such a din? They have a wagon driver, a taxi driver needs to smoke and make coffee on Shabbos to drive the chola. You know why it's aser to advertise such a din? It's because our Gemara in Bava Kama, that the Chachamim didn't change the halacha of a shor shenagach, shor shel Yisrael shenagach, shor shel Akum, or a shor shel Akum shenagach, shor Yisrael. They didn't change it. And the Amshel Shlomo taught us that usr to change the Torah, you have to preserve it even if a person's in great danger. So he says, same thing with us. Kain binyanenu, the last two lines. So too with our Shiloh here. Im yifar seime bi'iton shedavar zemutr. They place an ad in the papers that's mutter to smoke on Shabbos to help a chola. It's mutter to make coffee on Shabbos to help a chola. Yesh bezeh chashash shemifarsim halacha lo nechona u'mishana. There's a concern that the people are going to see that the Torah is changing and they're not preserving the exactness of the Torah. A person is obligated to protect, to give his own life in order to preserve the Torah, and therefore it's also to over such an aveira. That's the din of Rav Zilberstein, his bottom line. He leaves it off as a tzarach in. I would, just because I recently learned the sugya of pikuach nefesh, I would beg to differ on Reb Zilberstein. And I would think in this case it would be mutter to do such a thing, because the halacha is, when it comes to pikuach nefesh, the Shulchan Aruch writes that when it comes to who should be performing the Pikuach Nefesh, the halacha is that a Yid should do it over a non-Jew, because the Yid's going to be much more quicker, and urgency, sense of urgency will be there for the Jew. And a man should do it versus a child and a woman as well. And the Shibur writes, if there are Tamidei Chachamim that are there, the Tamidei Chachamim should be the ones doing it, to show them how important it is that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos entirely, how important it is to teach everybody else. And the Mishabura says that's important, that every single Rav has to teach the community that when it comes to Pikuach Nefesh, there are halachas that you have to follow. And then everything pretty much is Docha, Pikuach Nefesh, whatever it takes, you have to learn these halachas. So I would imagine being mefarsim, the halachas of what has to be done should be publicized, and is actually a key on Pikuach Nefesh, and therefore maybe this would be permitted. Now again, it's a bit of extreme to advertise you could smoke and you could make coffee on Shabbos, but it should certainly be advertised that whatever needs to be taken to protect a neshama, a Yiddish neshama, should certainly be taught and advertised lafia niyazaiti. And therefore, again, this particular case, maybe one could suggest that it can be mutter to advertise such a din. But again, the question then becomes, is it really practical? Is it really something, will a taxi driver refuse to drive unless he has his coffee, unless he has probably not. This particular application may not be so applicable, but the idea of publicizing, the ideas of Pikuach Nefesh, that you could violate Averis to protect a Yiddish Neshama, certainly should be advertised.
Well, I think it's what the rabbi, what you just said just now, as far as he's poskening on this individual who knows he needs it, and it's not stomped like that across the board.
Right.
So that's
exactly
why you can't.
But he doesn't take that approach for some reason. It seemed like this is a very acute case here of this guy, which isn't, but he doesn't talk about that. He thinks it might be something that's more prevalent, everyone should know about that, but it doesn't. To me, it doesn't seem like it's such a prevalent case.
Because I remember hearing about Ralph Palmer, where in public, no college.